Gather round wizards, it's time to explore. A world full of magic, we're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On broomsticks and butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the sorting hat to the wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight. It's time for the journey we're starting tonight. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply.
Welcome back to episode number 166
Woo!
Of Broomsticks and Butterbeer.
You know what the next one will be.
Yeah. 6-7 And if you're listening to this in 2030, you have no idea what we're talking about.
What are they talking about?
It was,
I think it's already dead.
It is. I get it a little bit still at school, but in 2025, it was, I mean, it shone.
It burned too bright, actually.
It did. It shone too, like a star and burned. Right,
like
out.
3 months?
I was longer than that.
Oh.
I'd say maybe 6-7 months.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Well, this is a Harry Potter podcast we do. A little something.
We also add in some, some tips and tricks, keep you up on all the hip things.
Little shenanigans and tomfoolery along the way. I'm Dan Rhino, by the way.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
And we are continuing our journey through the final book in the Harry Potter saga, that being Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Last time we talked about chapter 3. Today we'll be covering chapter 4. Chapter 3, real quick recap of the Dursleys departing. Harry's 17th birthday is approaching, so the protection spell that has been over the Dursleys' home is about to wear off. Also, the Dursleys are going into hiding with some wizarding protection, so Voldemort can't use them as bait against Harry. Harry says his final goodbyes to Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia, who bid him adieu with the same lack of love that they've always shown him. But in a pleasantly surprising twist, Dudley actually acts like a decent human being toward Harry. So the Dursleys are off, and Harry says goodbye to the house. And I say house, not a home. It was just a house to him that he grew up in. Today we're going to be talking about Chapter 4, The Seven Potters. And this is a chapter that I remember vividly from the movies, where Harry and the Order of the Phoenix are plotting Harry's... not escape, I guess, but Harry's transportation to a safe house for the upcoming whatever is going to happen with Harry and Voldemort. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I got something in my eye. Try and hold it together.
You're really, really struggling over there.
This is just my eyeball. It's fine.
You got two of them.
I know. That's why it's fine.
So they give you a backup. It's like kidneys. My dad had kidney cancer. They popped one out. He still got one.
He's fine.
And he still drowns it in Diet Coke every day. You know, just to kind of clean everything out, get all the unwanted stuff in your body kind of burned away. you know, flush out your system with 6-7 Diet Cokes a day.
Oh, I would have guessed more than that.
Mm. Yeah, that might be on the low end. But chapter 4, the seven potters. Harry's getting ready to leave Privet Drive for the last time, like we said. He's about to turn 17 and lose the magical protection that's tied to the Dursley's home. So we've got the Order of the Phoenix showing up, and it's Mad-Eye Moody who lays out the plan of how to get Harry safely to the burrow. And it's going to involve something that Harry has experience with, that being Polyjuice Potion. So talk about the plan and how it's going to hopefully pan out.
They have seven different safe houses set up with all kinds of protections. And each one of those has a port key that will then take them to the burrow, which will be like the final safe house. So they said Harry still has the trace on him, so he can't use magic without alerting people of the ministry, which we know
it's been infiltrated. Yeah. And we got a little bit more in depth with how deep it goes, because I forget who it was in the chapter that the order's pretty sure they've been compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And this person who's working in the ministry has shut down the flu network, has
made it so they can't have a port key at Harry's. Like, it's all done under the guise of, for Harry's safety,
we
will have no, like, literally no magic at his house. You can't use a port key, you can't use a flu network, you can't do anything at Harry's house. Mm-hmm. You know, for his protection.
You know, for his safety, yeah.
So nobody can get in. But he
or
also can't.
Out.
Yeah, he can't get out. And they said that nobody can do magic around him because they would also trigger the trace.
Mm.
This is one of the things that, like, the fandom gets a little fussy about because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, like, Harry got in trouble because Dobby used magic back several books ago. And that was the explanation, that somebody used magic in the house and therefore had to have been Harry, and he got blamed. And so we're kind of sticking with that now. If anybody uses magic in the house, they'll know, because the trace is on Harry. Well, so wizarding families' children don't have any kind of trace on them, because it'd be going off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Or they just trust
kind of a
wizarding
mini plot hole
families
there.
To have their kids under control.
So if you live in a muggle house, they monitor you more closely.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. But like I said, it seems, and we knew that this was happening, that those loyal to Voldemort, or maybe not loyal to Voldemort, but under some kind of, you know, controlling curse, it goes pretty deep into the levels of power within the ministry. So Moody's got this plan, however convoluted you might think it is. And I read some opinions online about this, how people were saying that it was way more complicated than it needed to be. That it was just inviting trouble based on how many layers it had to it. What was your kind? Were you okay with the plan that Moody had laid out?
So you mentioned the movie right off the bat when we first started talking, and how this scene is very memorable. And, you know, everybody says the book's better than the movie. But this might be one of the cases where the movie maybe not slightly better, but just makes it a little easier. Because any action scene where you have to stop and explain it.
That's Kelly yelling from Manhattan
to
St. Louis here.
Shut up, Jazz. Anytime there's an action scene and you have to stop and explain what's going on, it slows the pace down. That's just the hard thing with writing. And I kind of felt that here. Well, I, I was kind of picturing the scene from the movie and boom, 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 boom. But we had to slow down and we had to explain things and we had to notice very small details here and there. And also, I don't think it was this complicated in the movie. I feel like he's just like, okay, everybody be a Harry, saddle up, let's go. and they went.
He went through all the particulars of the plan off screen.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. The extra steps and stops and port keys and this and that, like they just streamlined it.
So Harry immediately has reservations about this plan, right? Mm-hmm. What doesn't Harry like about it?
I mean, you can't really blame him here. Anybody, you're getting ready to do something where somebody is trying to kill you, and like seven of your friends say, "Hey, we're going to be you too," or six of your friends are going to be you.
Be bait.
Yeah. We're just going to pretend to be you so we can distract them. I mean, there is the logic that you would just be kidnapped because Voldemort wants to kill you himself. So the people trying, the Death Eaters trying to catch you, aren't going to kill you. You're not really in that much danger until
the
Polyjuice potion wears off and or you get to Voldemort and he kills you anyway and then realizes that you weren't Harry, and yeah, then just you're temporarily safer.
Harry is not a big fan of his friends putting themselves in danger. I mean, this goes all the way back to the first book where Harry kind of has to he's forced to come to the conclusion that it's me, Ron, and Hermione. We're a team. But it takes him a while to come to that conclusion.
And he still kind of goes back and forth. Like, yeah. Sometimes he's like, okay, we can work together on this thing because I, like, for whatever checks and balances, he decided this is not that dangerous. But there's some things I still don't want you guys doing. And this is one of them.
And I think all the way back to when we had the life size, the human chess, and Ron sacrificed himself so that, you know, Harry could go on, and Ron, you know, came out the other end. But, you know, we've seen that doesn't always happen with those that are in Harry's inner circle here, mm-hmm. especially particularly people that he really cares about. This is where we get to the title of our chapter. We got the six volunteers, Ron, Hermione, Fred and George, Fleur, and very hesitant Mundungus Fletcher.
That's a nice way.
Yeah. They drink the potion and transform into identical versions of him. So how would you describe Harry's reaction to seeing six other versions of himself?
I felt like he was just mostly concerned when they started taking their clothes off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they don't really talk about it like being weird seeing himself in like Fleur's clothes or whatever. But in the movie, that scene when they, you know, they kind of go pan around the room and everybody's themselves taking a drink and then they pan back around the room and they're all Harry's, mm-hmm. but still in the original clothes. I thought that was a little like weird to see. But then the only part in the book that he's really upset about is the fact that they just, like, strip down in front of him.
Yeah, some of the things that stuck out to me were how mortified Harry was seeing multiple versions of himself standing around. He was super uncomfortable when he saw Hermione and Fleur as him. Why do you think he was so, like, that was so off-putting for him?
Well, I don't think he wants girls to... It's like them seeing him naked.
Okay. But it seemed like before they started stripping down, there was something about Fleur and Hermione that kind of really made him uneasy. I don't know if it's just because he's very attracted to Fleur and he really, really cares for Hermione. I don't know why that it seemed like it was so off-putting to him.
I don't know.
Based on what I read.
It didn't grab me.
Grab you. Get over here.
No.
Everyone's making comments about Harry's build.
Yeah.
Like his poor eyesight.
Wiry little
And everyone, in Harry's opinion, is way too eager to undress.
Yeah, that was his biggest.
They were way too comfortable, like in the room, you know, with all the with grown adults,
you know, and the girls,
because they have to put on appropriately sized clothing
and Harry-ish clothing,
and everyone gets to get a good look at what Harry looks like naked.
Yeah.
Another thing that stuck out to me was Fleur, who at the time looks exactly like Harry, was looking lovingly at Bill Weasley. That had to have been weird for Harry to see.
And Bill.
Himself.
And Bill.
Bill seemed okay with it. He knew his wife was in there somewhere. But he seemed okay with it. But Harry seemed, he really was not in tune with that. Fleur was even made a comment of, oh, I'm so hideous now, you'll never love me, or, you know how Fleur gets.
Yeah.
It'll wear off, girl. You'll be all right.
You'll be fine. Settle down.
So it made me think, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want. If you walked into a room and saw six copies of yourself, what's the first thing you'd notice and the first thing you'd judge, or the first thing you'd feel uncomfortable about or self-conscious about, maybe?
Do I know who these people are? You got to give me a backstory.
No backstory.
Do I know who these people are?
No, you don't know. Let's say you don't.
And they just turned into me.
You walked into a room. They had drank the polyjuice potion. You didn't get to see the transformation. You just see six versions of yourself wearing odd clothes. Because for me, I'm very self-conscious. I've always have been. I would probably be like, ugh. I don't like my nose. I have like an enormous honker, and nobody else in my family does, and it doesn't make any sense. So, other than my mom, so I'm pretty sure I'm the mailman's kid. I'm almost 46 years old. I have the acne of a 13-year-old girl that I can't get under control. I've never liked my figure, like ever. Like ever since I was a little fat kid growing up and got teased mercilessly for it. So there's all kinds of things for me that I would just be like, ugh. I don't like looking at myself. I would not like to see six of myself in a room. But you seem like you're fine. You're fine with it.
No.
And you don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it. But we're not all as pretty as you. And so we don't all have that, you know, comfortability that you do. Moving on?
Yeah.
So there's also the fact that everyone seemingly inherited Harry's bad eyesight when they drank the potion. I guess it just made me wonder about how the potion actually works and like what the limits or lack of limits are.
Lack of limits, like, because it made them significantly taller or shorter. Like
I could see that.
That's a big deal to change the underlining structure of somebody.
Yeah, I understand that. That is big. But we get down to the point.
So you don't think it's the eyeballs can shift?
I mean, it's the exact like curvature.
Changing bones.
Like the exact curvature of like the cornea and stuff is changing.
Mr. Lenscrafters is here.
And it kind of made me wonder, like, if someone has horrible arthritis and you brew a potion to be like them, would you get horrible arthritis as well?
Yeah.
If someone has cancer, would you get cancer as well?
For the time being.
So it would go away when you return
when
to
you
normal,
go
but
back
you would
to
have
normal.
Cancer.
While you're them, which is not very long.
But, I mean, that's not, like, part of your DNA. But I guess eyesight is also not technically part of your DNA. That's something that changes, sometimes even gets better as you get older. Like
babe.
Yeah.
It's magic.
So what if like somebody had
okay, yeah, it's magic. But I got another question.
But what, just one more.
What about this?
What if somebody had a broken leg? Now that's not has nothing to do with your DNA.
No.
You like broke your leg. So if your leg was broken when the potion was brewed.
I think you're too fixated on the DNA. Just because it's hair?
Dino DNA.
None of these books say it's DNA.
Okay, what is it? Just magic?
It's just magic, but you're taking a piece of the person.
In their current state.
Yes. That piece happens to be hair, just to make... But I think it said it could be other things, originally when she was brewing it. But hair is the easiest to use.
Hmm. You like rip a tooth out or something?
Yeah. Fingernail? I don't know. Ugh. Hair is the easiest and I guess most palatable.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just a piece of the person. So it's like taking a photo of them and then copying it. Yes.
At that moment. So let's say that somebody breaks both their legs.
Uh-huh. And you brew the potion while...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
You brew the potion of somebody that has two healthy legs. And the broken leg person drinks the potion. Are their legs healed?
Yes.
While they have the...
Yes, we already established we're changing the bones because they're growing taller or shorter.
So they'd suddenly be able to walk.
Yeah, their bones will be fine.
There's kind of some... possibility for like big time medical advancement there.
Not really, because we already can fix bones with magic.
But if you could somehow target the polyjuice potion, you know, if we could get the muggle scientist to work with the magical community, there could be a lot of like advancements for, you know, medicine.
For what?
For anything.
But they already have spells to fix almost everything.
Do they have one to fix cancer?
Probably.
Oh, so they're not sharing it with the muggle world?
Muggles would kill them.
Okay.
Or you can go down the path that they say witches and wizards are of a hardier stock, so maybe they don't get cancer.
So Moody had to get 6 pairs of glasses.
Yes.
All with Harry's exact prescription.
Again, magic. We just replicate it.
Replicato.
Duplicato.
What does it say about Ron and Hermione and the others that they're willing to risk their lives for Harry?
So it is Ron and Hermione and Fred and George. Those ones care for him very greatly.
Essentially family,
exactly. Fleur is indebted to him for saving the little sister. And she's going to be part of this family, but it's still a little more distant for her. But they all understand that like this is their best shot at winning the end game.
In a war, all soldiers have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their role to play. It's bigger than any of
this
us.
This is what they can do. And you know, there's a lot of feeling helpless during times like that, or these, where you feel like you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And this is something that they can do. Mm-hmm. And so they want to help. But yeah, I think ultimately it is, one, the frustration of what can I do to help? This I can do to help. And two, it's Harry and we need him to ultimately win.
And what about Mundungus?
He's afraid of Mad-Eye.
He does whatever Mad-Eye tells him to do. Gotcha. So we talked about why we have to have the crazy level of espionage here. We can't use the flu network. We can't
use magic, period.
Disapparate, you know. So each Harry is paired with a protector from the Order and assigned a different mode of transport. So we're using broomsticks, we're using the flying motorcycle, we're using Thestrals, and the real Harry is going to travel with Hagrid on the enchanted motorbike. And it made me kind of think, if you had to pair up, who would you feel safest flying with? We got Moody, we've got Hagrid, we've got Kingsley Shacklebolt, somebody else.
So, my first instinct was I'm going on the Thestral with Kingsley.
That's just because you want to ride a Thestral.
Well, the Thestral one is going to, like, be making its own choice. It wants to stay alive as well, so it's going to avoid danger without the rider really having to think that much. Whereas you're on a broomstick, you have to... It's your choice.
Are Thestrals alive?
Yes.
Okay.
They're a horse-ish creature.
Bony, like...
Yet they're still alive. Skeletal. It's fine. Anyway. And Kingsley. He's just kind of, you know...
Yeah, Kingsley. Yeah, he's... He kind of... One thing that kind of stood out to me that was a little... Lacked a little tact, I think, when they were going around describing everybody. It said, Kingsley, he was big and black. I'm like, okay, like, yeah, but a little, like, you didn't go around and say Moody was white, was... With a limp.
We've already established that. We all know who Moody is. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's not.
I mean, Moody has.
It's not inappropriate to say it. It's just a, like I said, lacks a little
tact.
Tell me about your friend. Oh yeah, he's a wizard. Real powerful wizard. Like, great guy, great sense of humor. He's black. Like, it shouldn't matter. Like, I get, but I understand, like, trying to help get the picture in the head for the reader. But, like, couldn't he have said, like, he had skin of chestnut or something, like, something a little more poetic?
She just wanted to get to the point.
Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't want any discrepancies.
Like, we're in book 7, guys. We don't got time to mess around.
It's word count. I don't know. Mad-Eye is tempting because, you know, he's... He's a tough guy, too. Mm-hmm. He's got that magical eye. But he's on broomsticks. And then I'd be on a broomstick by myself, I think. Are we riding together on the broomstick?
I can't remember. They were riding...
together?
Yeah, together.
No. Okay. That still seems precarious. I'd rather sit on the Thestral.
Yeah.
Much more secure.
Yeah, Harry's not really excited about riding the sidecar of the motorbike. And everybody kind of gives him a hard time. He sits like so low to the ground, like almost like negative low to the ground. But I don't know. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Motorbike. I mean, there's like the full circle-ness of it where Hagrid brought him to that house on the motorbike. Now he's leaving with Hagrid on the motorbike. But also, Hagrid just, everything he touches really seems to go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an odd choice, but... Maybe that's part of their deception. Like, we're not going to put you with a really good guy, really good protector. So maybe they'll think it's not you. I don't know.
I like.
We're going to put you with the guy who can't even really do magic.
I like Kingsley's style too. Like, I'll show you this picture from the movie. Great for an audio podcast.
Yes,
by the way.
Yes.
But
you guys are all picturing the same picture.
I just like his style, man. Like, he's obviously very powerful. He was.
His big line. You know, he says that you got to admit Dumbledore's got style. So it's just funny that you keep saying I like his style.
I like his style. I don't know. I like the way he carries himself. You know, I like the confidence. I like the.
And even Harry was like, oh, thank goodness that Hermione's going with Kingsley on the... It was both. The Thestral, because she does not get on a broomstick, and Kingsley. Like, okay, well, she's good. Nothing's going to happen to her.
What about Bill? How would you feel about traveling with Bill? Very capable.
He is, but again, he's on a broomstick, isn't yeah. he? Who else? Who? I thought there were two Thestrals.
I don't know who else went on a Thestral. Each mode of transportation.
Yeah. I don't know.
So give me, so you want a Thestral either way. You can have anybody you want on the Thestral.
I'd still go Kingsley first.
I would too.
Mad-Eye second.
Uh-huh.
And then probably Bill?
Yeah.
He's got...
Poor Hagrid, man.
I don't really want to go with Hagrid.
I don't know, man. Hagrid does his thing. He handles his business. He
got Harry there, I guess.
He sometimes the path he takes is there, but nobody.
He's got heart.
He does. He does. And you know, there's of the people who are pairing off with the Harrys, he's the one who cares the most for Harry. You know, Kingsley, of course, is going to do what he can to protect him. Bill's, of course, going to do what he can to protect him. Moody's going to do what he can. But Hagrid is like family. And Hagrid sees Harry as like almost like a son. And I think he would really go above and beyond to protect, even though he might not. He's probably the least capable wizard of the ones who are traveling. And that's probably kind of the part of the plan, like you said, is that, oh, surely they wouldn't put Harry with Hagrid. Surely they'll like put him with Kingsley or Moody.
Like, he's not even technically, I mean, he's a wizard, but he's not. Like, he never finished right. school. He's mm-hmm. not supposed to have a wand. Yes, we got this weird broken wand inside the umbrella, and occasionally he does a few things, but it never comes out right. It's like when Ron had the broken wand.
Mm-hmm.
Never comes out right.
Well, speaking of never coming out right, it's pretty much as soon as they leave.
Okay, so I had to go back to the first chapter
uh-huh.
and read back through the whole conversation with when are they going to move him. And, you know, the one person gave Voldemort the information they're moving him the night before he turned 17. And I wanted to see if, because Snape gives Voldemort this information, the correct date.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm like, just like, Do they know that he told them? Does he not know they told them? I mean, Mad-Eye really makes it seem like he doesn't. So there might be a couple Death Eaters up there watching, but we don't expect them to know.
Yeah, they said something about how like they kind of know the general area that Harry probably is, but they don't know exactly. Like, they don't know the exact address,
mm-hmm.
but they kind of know because we've had Dementor, you know, run-ins not far from his house,
mm-hmm.
from this area. So they know that Harry's positioned there somewhere. So they think that there's the chance that there could be, you know, kind of...
like a patrol.
A patrol, exactly. Like scouting
loops.
The area.
But no, this is a full-on ambush because Snape told them the correct date. Even though they laid the false trail mm-hmm. of the night before he turned 17, Snape told them the correct date. So I don't know. It was just weird. Like, do they know that he said that? I don't know.
Yeah, the plan immediately unravels into chaos and Death Eaters ambush them in midair. We've got spells flashing in every direction. The Order members attempt to shield their Harry while fighting off attackers. And something that you said earlier where, oh, they'll probably just capture him and take him back to Voldemort. Voldemort's here. Like, that's, and business really picks up
mm-hmm.
because Voldemort is here. And he focuses on the motorbike carrying Harry and Hagrid. And what was it that gave the real
Expelliarmus?
Yeah.
That's his go-to. Which,
I mean, it should be a common spell, though.
Well,
right?
And then he saw that it was Stan, he knew Stan, and he didn't want to hurt Stan, so he used Expelliarmus. Whereas before, he was just throwing curse after curse after curse,
uh-huh.
trying to curse and jinx everybody. He didn't care who he hurt
mm-hmm.
before, and then he saw that it was Stan, went, ooh, Expelliarmus, I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to take your wand away so you can't hurt me.
You gave yourself away by using your
And the other one, the other Death Eater who was there, realized what happened and was like, it's him, it's the real one. And then they pulled back and Voldemort showed up.
There was so many parts of the plan that the Death Eaters and Voldemort seemed to know exactly what was coming, like exactly what the plan was.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me kind of think that, you know, I know Snape was in the Order, and Snape has a lot of inside information to give to Voldemort. But, man, it kind of makes me think there's other leaks.
Mm-hmm. Because he didn't tell him about this, that not on the page anyway.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. They all came up together mm-hmm. and saw the seven Harry Potters, I mean, then they instantly know, okay, there's decoys and one of these is real.
Yeah.
But to have time to coordinate
uh-huh.
the thought process there. Most people would be like, oh, seven, then only one of these is real. We got to figure out which one. Even on his own. And the guy, you know, was like, oh, this is the real one. I'm going to let everybody know I found the real one.
Wasn't there a moment when you said seven, it made me think, wasn't there a moment in this chapter where Moody says something like, I bet you didn't think it was possible to split yourself into seven parts.
Or he says Voldemort won't be expecting, or he says, what did he say? He said that even Voldemort can't be in seven places at once.
Oh, yeah. And Harry kind of looks at Hermione.
Like,
we know some stuff.
There's
that
some
maybe
things.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me, you know, wonder. You know, Harry obviously hasn't shared everything he knows the Order.
Really, Dumbledore, you know, he only told him, he said, keep this to yourself. And then he said, tell Ron and Hermione.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that's it. So that's all he's told.
And that's probably for the best because, like we said, there's not only been infiltration into the ministry, but there might be some other issues with the Order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already know what happened with Snape, but we don't know.
Well, and Snape said, when I went back and read that chapter, Snape said, Voldemort asked him, how do you know this? And he said, from the source we discussed. Mm-hmm. So he's getting it from a source. Yes. He is no longer I don't know, maybe he is showing up, but I feel like the Order has cut him out.
Yeah.
They're thinking.
Yeah, once you kill Dumbledore.
Once you kill Dumbledore, you're out of the Order. No matter.
Like, we were thinking about giving you a second chance.
Third chance? Tenth chance? I don't know. He doesn't have contact with the Order anymore, but he has somebody who does.
So when Voldemort focuses on the real Harry, there's a moment where Harry's wand almost acts on its own accord, repelling Voldemort's attack. Can you talk a little bit about that?
No.
Okay.
No,
Well, that's been this episode of Some Butterbeer. Thank you to everybody downloading, listening, subscribing, Inner Circle, tagline at the end, all that stuff.
So I was reading it and I was like, wait, what now? What? Wait, hold on. We got that somewhere. I can't find it. Oh, it's over in the red ones.
What?
There we go.
I thought the red ones were all extra.
Smooth. Babe, you're so... Next time you're thinking, I need to get you some Jeopardy think music on that sound.
There's a column of red ones, purple ones, yellow ones, blue ones, and I thought they were kind
of
divided. With
a lot
these
of colors.
Are like the puffs. A
lot of colors.
And the red ones I thought were all extras, like the dun 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 and the breaking news. Well, mm-hmm. there's a that one's over there with the red, so I wasn't checking the red.
I got.
What?
Yeah, so I totally forgot about the wand thing, and then it happened, and I was like...
Well, what?
And
It's almost like the
I don't know.
Wand is self-aware.
Yeah,
in a way.
I'm assuming there's an explanation.
Because the wand does choose the wizard.
It does. But Voldemort's not using his wand. Because remember, he had to take Lucius's. And struggling now. I'm all flustered about the... Wait, what? So that part I didn't understand.
Lucius's
wand.
Don't feel bad about that.
So I was like, if Voldemort had his wand and Harry had the two wands that are like connected, twin wands, brother wands, whatever you want to call it, then that makes a little more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Voldemort's using somebody else's wand, then why would the wand like react?
Yeah.
That confused me a little. I'm sure there's an explanation somewhere, but I'm not remembering.
Kelly, shoot us an email.
And explain it all to us.
Or
not. If it's a spoiler, then the answer is just no.
Yeah. You want to talk about Hedwig?
I was wondering if you were going to talk about
it. I don't know if I want to.
Again... I think in the movie it was a little better, like a little more glory in the movie.
Yeah.
And this one was kind of.
Just caught astray.
Yeah. While caged.
Yeah.
Almost got dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should have just let her free a long time ago and just said, meet me at the Burrow later.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
That's probably what he's thinking too. More survivor's guilt.
Yeah. I have a funny story about it, though.
Nothing funny about this, Jess. a loyal friend has lost their lives.
Well, still, I have a story.
All right, let's bring the funny into it.
I was at a book event for an author who released a book. And
why are you being so coy about it?
On tour. I don't know.
It was Hitler and it was Mein Kampf.
No.
It was a book signing.
Sarah Maas, and it was Queen of Shadows.
Okay.
And it was in New York for her release day party.
Mm-hmm.
And
you just gallivant around the country.
Gallivant around the country going to book things. Mm-hmm. Really just New York because that's where Kelly lives and I can stay with her. So we're in this like auditorium full of people and Sarah Maas is on the stage with, you know, the little person who's interviewing her. And they ask the question like, well, the main character in the book has a dog. And she said, just please tell us that the dog survives, that you don't kill the dog. And Sarah's just like, oh, absolutely not. I would not kill the dog. I'm still traumatized from Hedwig's death. Mm. And somebody in the audience goes, what?
That went on for a while. Sorry about that.
And then, of course, Sarah freaks out, covers her face, and was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to spoil it. But also, come on, it's been a couple of years.
So this was within the last 5 years?
No. See... I knew you were going to ask me details. Queen of Shadow, that was the first trip I went to New York. So that was a long time ago.
But the Harry Potter books had been out probably for 20 years by then.
Not the last one. But it was still, yeah, it'd been out for a long, long time.
I mean, I think like the statute of limitations is kind of passed on that.
Yeah, that was on her, whoever the random person was in the audience. But it was just funny at the moment.
I think that's weird, too, that you would really be into YA and not read kind of like the original YA book, which is Harry Potter. So you just went over to the shelf and found the book, and I guess between Deathly Hallows and
Queen of Shadows
was like eight years? Is that what you said?
Yeah. 2007 is July 2007 and fall September 2015.
8 years, though, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think you have to do spoiler warnings anymore.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, she clearly knew who Hedwig was.
Yeah.
So, and it was enough to cause a reaction. I don't know why she just hadn't gotten to the last book. I don't know.
So, the immediate tech on the order, like I told you, kind of makes me wonder how the Death Eaters knew about the plan. But was Moody's Seven Potters plan strategically brilliant or unnecessarily complicated, if you had to pick one? Is there another option that they could have done, maybe with a similar plan?
I feel like they didn't need to go as far away, or maybe that it's not that far. Like, I feel like they could have just left Harry's house. Maybe they could have been seven of them and all gone in different directions and then disapparated.
Maybe they should have just got like an Uber or something.
Oh. I don't think they had Uber back then.
A taxi?
Taxi.
Call a taxi service. They yeah. could have got like seven taxis.
And Arthur Weasley's car was gone, so they couldn't take his.
But I'm kind of like, I'm just thinking
that. Oh, I forgot about Arthur. He was in the group,
mix. Yeah. But I'm just kind of thinking, like, maybe don't go to the skies. Maybe go a more muggle route.
Underground?
More conventional.
Go in the
Is
sewers?
Is that an option? Is that an option?
I don't know. I'm sure they have Is sewers
that
there.
Like, yeah. I'm sure they could have found a sewer grate or something. Huh. Maybe they should have just made everybody look like Harry. Just have 14 Potters. Couldn't get enough glasses in his prescription, probably. That's probably it. They couldn't get enough glasses in his prescription.
No, I think Moody would just been like, no, I'm not doing it. And it was his plan, so that's probably why.
So by the time the chapter ends, we've got a lot of uncertainty. Who survived the ambush? We don't know. Did Hagrid survive his fall from the motorbike when he tackled one of the
we didn't even talk about all the specialty features on the motorbike.
Go ahead.
It put out a brick wall.
That was nice. it just floated there, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've read these books, especially this one in particular, because we've been doing this process and I haven't read them. And then a net, which is common. There's a lot in books, movies, and cartoons. You shoot a net out. Makes sense. But didn't really work. And but then the jet fire. I don't know they call it the dragon fire, but like the jet engine, that was good.
Yeah. And it was all tricked out.
It was like the nitro
like
button.
Pimp My Ride.
Mm-hmm. Except for it was falling apart. Nobody stress tested that sidecar.
Well, that's why you got to take it to Pimp My Ride. And if it's falling apart, they'll fix it up. They'll put two Xboxes
in
the
back. Two Xboxes!
Like, dude, I just need to get to my job every day.
But on your lunch break,
we put LED screens in all of your tires.
What? What if it's raining?
Yeah. We know you like basketball, so
we put a hood on the
We took your spare tire out, and we put a basketball hoop up there.
No.
So this is pretty much Harry's worst fears coming true, why he didn't like this plan in the first place. Like, Hagrid, like I said, tackled one of the Death Eaters midair. We don't know if he survived the fall. We don't know if any of the other six tandems that went out survived.
There's a lot of green light going around.
Yeah. So there's a lot of uncertainty at the end of this chapter and heading into the next chapter. Is there anything else you wanted to say about chapter 4? Because we do have an email today.
No, I just wanted to talk about the brick wall. We did that.
All right. This email, well, first of all, wanted to give another shout out to our friend Candace, who's been catching up on her journey through the Harry Potter books with us here. Candace here in St. Louis with us.
And giving us periodic updates.
And she's like, I finished book four. And she'll send us an email with, you know,
all of her thoughts.
All of her thoughts, answers to some of our questions of her own. We just got her book five email the other day, so she's catching up quick. She's going to be caught up with us pretty soon. So, Candace, thank you again. And every time you email us, we're going to get back to you and answer all of your questions. And you can do that, too. Send us emails, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. And we will get back to you and give you a shout-out on the show here, just like we're going to do for Cassie in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Hi, Cassie. We got a Springfield here.
Well, I think there's like...
Springfield everywhere.
Like 30 Springfields in the country.
Why is that so popular?
I don't know.
You said Springfield, and I was like, oh, Missouri? Illinois? Which one? And then you said Massachusetts. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
Haven't been there.
She writes, should there be a better way to keep your wand secure, especially during a battle? It just seems like wizards get disarmed so easily in the books and movies. Wouldn't it be smart to have a leather strap or something similar to keep the wand in your hands?
Like the little string on your camera.
Uh-huh.
That you put,
I was thinking
your
of like
hand
the,
through the camera. And
yes, I was thinking of like the Wiimote on the Wiimote. Nintendo Wii.
So you don't throw it at the
screen. Yeah, so they put the straps on so you kept you from throwing your controller through the television. So would something muggle-ish like a wrist strap be enough to overcome an Expelliarmus spell?
So I think if like it gets knocked out or you take a fall and it goes tumbling away, then the strap thing would help.
Because
It's not going to go rolling off and we have to like crawl to get it and try and get there before the bad guy and all the things. But I'm not sure about Expelliarmus because there's like, you know, the whole thing that if somebody disarms you,
yeah,
then the wand is technically theirs and switches its allegiance. So, I don't know that would help you very much.
What about a Wiimote strap, though?
You can get the Wiimote strap, yep, but I don't know if the wand will behave for you like it normally would.
So, it's just wouldn't help.
I don't know.
I'd like to have one of those like retractable keychains, you know, like a landlord or a custodian uses.
I have that on my badge. And I have imagine my, it works.
I do, too.
You go, zoop, dunk, and zoop.
I want to have that for my wand. And so, like, if it pops out of my hand, it just, you know, goes back to my waistband.
So, if you were holding your wand and somebody goes, you just drop it.
I'm not holding the wand. You can't do it.
And it zips back. It's like, nope.
And then I return the favor to them.
Yes. Then you can grab it again and go, zoop.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I was thinking, when you first started asking the question, because I didn't know where we were going with that question, I was thinking about, like, oh, it's got to be better than just sticking it in our pocket. Or a lot of times they say it's, like, in the inside of their robe, which also feels like it would be, like, hard to find.
Yeah.
You're going through the folds of the robe trying to find that little pocket. I have, like, the holster for when we cosplay. That's blue. It's supposed to look like dragon scales. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
And it clips on my belt.
From now on, I'm going to have mine on a retractable key ring.
All right. Do you have one?
A wand?
Yeah. I don't think you do.
Mm-mm. The wand hasn't chosen me yet.
You don't have one when we cosplay?
I think I have. I was using one of the ones that I had made because I would make them and sell them. Just like little $5 wands, nothing super, super fancy like anything you've got.
I have several.
You do? And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You keep, every time you see a wand, you want, but I don't really need any more wands.
As if you need any wands at all. But yeah. I've got, my favorite one is that, like, back years and years and years ago at C2E2, there was some random vendor that had wooden wands that he was making, or someone was making, and they're similar to the Harry Potter ones, but he would take like two features and like mush them together. And that one's my favorite. That was the one that Chelsea had one, and she put it in her boot, and then she plopped down on that bench and it broke, and then you tried to glue it back together because it was actual real wood.
Yeah, I didn't have any spello tape.
No spello tape. And then I was chosen at Ollivander's.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a wand from that.
That was when we went to Universal Studios, and you get to go into Ollivander's, and they do like a whole little dog and pony show,
mm-hmm.
and they pick people out of the audience. Usually
generally children.
Usually a child. But
when you and your best friend at the time are dressed in Quidditch robes,
mm-hmm.
like custom Quidditch robes, not mm-hmm. ones that were bought,
yeah,
custom-made Quidditch robes, they pick you.
They did. And the children were like, but I wanted to get picked. They probably gone through the thing 5 times, hoping that they would finally get picked. And no, some
nope.
grown woman got picked.
Two grown women.
And you got to interact with the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really, really cool. Very, very highly recommended. And we got to go back because they've had new stuff since we've been back there.
Yeah.
The second time. Anything else we done for the show?
I think we're done.
All right. So shout out to Cassie. Thanks for listening and following us on our journey. Don't be a stranger. You can send us your emails, like I said, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com, or reach out to us. Words are hard. Reach out to us on social media. On X, we are @broomsticksb. No spaces, no underscores. @broomsticksbpodcast on Instagram, I believe. We're also on Facebook and Blue Sky. So follow us, and you can find out when the new episodes. What are you doing? When the new episodes are dropping. You're doing something on your little soundboard over there.
It's also on iPad. I can look up stuff on the internet.
No, you can't. Because you're wired into the sound, and we can hear you shopping on Temu.
I'm not shopping on Temu.
Sheen or Shine or whatever
no,
it's called.
No, I was going to look up all the Harry Potter ones because I want to know
okay,
which
well, use
two
your,
wands
use
were.
Your phone.
Okay, I'll use my phone.
Use your phone. And we're done here anyway. You can just wait. Can you wait 30 seconds?
Yes.
Can you wait 30 seconds?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Shout out to the Inner Circle, Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, Jenny, and Emma. Thank you to everybody for downloading, listening, and subscribing. Leave us a review if you feel so inclined. And until next time, be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
See ya.
Bye.
Gather around wizards. It's time to explore. A world full of magic. We're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On Broomsticks and Butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the Sorting Hat to the Wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight. It's time for the journey we're starting tonight. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. Through the pages we wander, side by side. In every adventure, we take it in stride. The laughter and lessons, the love and the pain. With each chapter shared, we'll never be the same. Let's raise our glasses to the stories we share. In the world of Potter, there's magic.
From Diagon Alley to the Forbidden Forest, exploring this universe, we're never the worst. Every twist and turn, oh, it makes us feel the power of friendship, that's the real deal. So don't miss a moment, let's savor the fun. With broomsticks and butterbeer, the magic's just begun. So here's to the chapters, both old and new. With every spell cast, a world that feels true. On broomsticks and butterbeer, we'll see you next time. With laughter and magic, we're forever in rhyme.